You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, October 25th, 2022. With a little help from my friends, Part 2, U.S. Lithium Production and Processing Projects. Published by Housley Carr. The world will need extraordinarily large quantities of lithium to support the development of renewable energy, batteries and electric vehicles, or EVs. The problem is, much of the supply chain for lithium and many other important energy transition minerals is either owned or controlled by China, whose strategic and economic interests are directly at odds with the US and its allies. In response, the Biden administration and Congress have been taking steps to reduce our dependence on Chinese supplies by providing financial incentives to encourage the development of more domestic mineral production and processing capacity. But that development can only happen if the projects can clear the often daunting regulatory and legal hurdles they almost always face. In today's RBN blog, we discuss a few of the leading U.S. projects being planned and the challenges they face in moving forward. If you think it's tough getting a new natural gas pipeline project permitted and built in many parts of the U.S., consider the hurdles you'd have to clear in developing a new open-pit lithium mine, a sprawling set of brine evaporation ponds, or a plant to produce lithium carbonate or lithium hydroxide, both of which can be used to make cathodes for EV batteries. We get it, many of us would object to a major industrial operation being built next door or even down the road from where we live. At the same time, however, the transition to a lower carbon economy is full of aesthetic and environmental trade-offs. Can we deal with seeing scores of wind turbines on a ranch along the interstate, or in the distance off the shoreline? What about a 1,000-acre solar farm on what used to be a cornfield? Or a new electric transmission line through a forest? Those trade-offs are easy, at least when you compare them with what you might call the necessary but nasty aspects of the energy transition, with open-pit mines, arrays of football field-size evaporation ponds, and mineral processing plants being prime examples. As we said in Part 1, China and Chinese companies many years ago saw the trend toward EVs coming and moved to secure the supply of lithium, manganese, cobalt, nickel and other key minerals from producers in China and around the world through investments and long-term deals, develop mineral processing facilities and battery manufacturing plants within China, and build out China's EV industry by subsidizing EV sales on its home turf. It's been estimated that, as a result of these efforts, China accounted for as many as 80% of the EV batteries produced last year. The concern among U.S. policymakers is that allowing a highly competitive, often hostile nation like China to dominate the manufacture of commodities critical to the U.S. economy isn't a good long-term plan and can leave us vulnerable to supply and/or price disruptions or, in a worst-case scenario, subject to foreign coercion that may compromise our own strategic goals. To help address this situation, Congress in August approved, and President Biden signed into law, the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, which established a number of incentives designed to encourage not only the purchase of EVs but the development of an EV battery supply chain located mostly, and in a few years entirely, in the U.S. or in countries friendly with us. Most important, as far as EVs and batteries are concerned, the law provides for the following. Number 1. Tax credits of up to $7,500 for a new EV assembled in North America, and costing $55,000 or less for cars and $80,000 or less for SUVs and pickups, if the EV meets both critical mineral content and battery component content requirements. See Part 1 for specifics. Number 2. A new Advanced Manufacturing Production Tax Credit, or AMPTC, under which companies along the supply chain are entitled to a series of tax credits for producing critical minerals, refining critical minerals, producing battery anodes, producing battery cells, and producing battery modules, as long as that production and refining takes place within the U.S. Again, see Part 1 for details. All of which brings us to a discussion about the only operating U.S. lithium production site, the plans for new lithium production and processing capacity in the U.S., and the challenges those projects face. We should begin by noting that there are currently two ways to produce lithium. One is by mining and processing spodumene, a mineral with a relatively high lithium content, a few percent, found within pegmatite, a coarse igneous rock. The other is by pumping naturally occurring lithium-containing brine through a series of large evaporation ponds to remove its water content, then chemically treating the concentrated solids to remove the lithium. As we'll get to in a moment, a third approach to lithium production is being planned. The sole operating lithium production site in the U.S. is Albemarle Corporation's Silver Peak facility in Nevada. There, brine is evaporated over a period of 18 to 24 months and the concentrate is run through a conversion unit to make lithium carbonate. Silver Peak currently produces about 5,000 metric tons per year of lithium carbonate, or enough to help make about 80,000 EV batteries, enough to supply about one-tenth of the 800,000-plus EVs expected to be sold in the U.S. this year. Albemarle plans to double the capacity of the facility by 2025. As for new U.S. lithium projects under development, the one that's garnered the most attention is Lithium America's planned Thacker Pass project in Humboldt County, Nevada. The project would be the first in the world to produce lithium by mining soft lithium-containing clay, not rock, then leaching the material using sulfuric acid to liberate the lithium. Following the leaching process, the lithium solution would be purified to produce up to 40,000 mt per year of battery-quality lithium carbonate initially, and up to 80,000 mt per year after a planned expansion. While Lithium Americas has secured most of the permits needed for the project, Thacker Pass still faces a number of legal challenges from environmental groups and Native American tribes. At its Kings Mountain site in North Carolina's Cleveland County, Albemarle Corporation, owner of the Silver Peak facility we discussed before, as well as lithium production assets in Australia and Latin America, plans to restart a long-idled spodumene mine by 2027 and build a new lithium processing plant there. The company already operates a 5,000 mt per year lithium processing facility at Kings Mountain that converts material shipped in from Silver Peak and overseas to produce lithium hydroxide. The company also plans to develop a 100,000 mt per year Megaflex processing plant at a yet-to-be-named site in the southeastern U.S. Piedmont Lithium, in turn, is developing its proposed Carolina Lithium Spodumene Mine and 30,000 mt per year lithium processing plant to produce lithium hydroxide in Gaston County, North Carolina, and announced in September that it also is planning a 30,000 mt per year Tennessee lithium processing plant in McMinn County, Tennessee. The Tennessee plant, which would process spodumene concentrate imported from Ghana into lithium hydroxide, is scheduled to come online in 2025, with the North Carolina mine and processing plant to follow in 2026. In Southern California's Imperial Valley, Controlled Thermal Resources, or CENTER, is developing the Hell's Kitchen Power and Lithium Project, which would include 1. A 50-megawatt geothermal plant powered by hot brine that rises 8,000 feet from below the Earth's surface and 2. A lithium production and processing facility that would remove lithium and other minerals from the brine before it is pumped back underground, then concentrate the lithium and produce 25,000 mt per year of lithium hydroxide starting as soon as 2024. Additional phases of the project already being planned would double or triple its lithium production. These are among the higher-profile U.S. lithium projects being planned. Still, other potential lithium production sites face even steeper uphill challenges from local opposition, like the much-publicized rich deposits in Newry, Maine. It would be fair to say that while none of them is a sure thing, securing permits is one hurdle and defending those permits in state and federal courts is another. To that end, permitting reform to limit the time mining and infrastructure projects can get hung up in litigation and bureaucracy has been a bipartisan issue that was highlighted in West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin's recently sidelined permitting reform bill. While the plan to vote on and approve that legislation was scrapped a couple weeks ago, it's anticipated that, given both parties' desire to advance new infrastructure, a new iteration of permitting reform could gain support. Additionally, there is a growing consensus that more domestic lithium production and processing capacity will be needed to support the development of a robust U.S. EV manufacturing sector. There's also more support coming from the federal government. In September, the Department of Energy, or DOE, announced that it will provide up to $156 million to support the design, construction, and operation of a demonstration facility that will extract, separate, produce, and refine rare earth elements and other critical minerals from mining and energy production waste streams. Don't think for a moment, however, that the U.S.'s EV battery supply problem is close to being solved. For one thing, our understanding is that while a total of about 200,000 mt per year of U.S. lithium capacity is in some stage of development, 5x as much new capacity would be needed for the nation to become lithium self-sufficient by the early 2030s. Also, in its first 21 months, the Biden administration has canceled or set back a handful of mine projects involving other minerals, citing environmental concerns. That raises the concern that, despite the administration's stated interest in spurring more U.S. lithium production, getting new mining and process projects permitted and built won't be a slam dunk. With a Little Help from My Friends was written by John Lennon and Paul McCartney and appears as the second song on side one of the Beatles' eighth studio album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Lennon and McCartney wrote the tune for Ringo Starr to sing on the album. They recorded the song in March 1967 at EMI Studios in London the day before the band posed in their costumes for the Sgt. Pepper album cover shoot. The song has been covered by many artists, with the most popular one being Joe Cocker, who sang it while making his presence felt at the Woodstock Musical Festival in 1969, and a documentary film that followed the event. Cocker released his version as a single in the UK in October 1968. It went to number one on the UK singles chart. Personnel on the Beatles' version were Ringo Starr on lead vocals, drums, and tambourine, Paul McCartney on bass, piano, and backing vocals, John Lennon on rhythm guitar, cowbell, and backing vocals, George Harrison on lead guitar and backing vocals, and George Martin on Hammond organ. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band was recorded between November 1966 and April 1967 at EMI Studios and Regent Sound in London, with George Martin producing. It was released in May 1967 and went to number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart and all album charts worldwide. It has been certified 11X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America and has sold more than 32 million copies worldwide. The LP won 4 Grammy Awards and remains one of the top-selling albums of all time. Released during the Summer of Love in 1967, it became a defining moment in pop culture and helped solidify the album format as a legitimate art form. No singles were released from the LP. The Beatles were an English rock band formed in Liverpool in 1960. With members John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr, they changed the course of pop music and culture, becoming one of the most popular rock bands of all time. They released 17 studio albums, 6 live albums, 54 compilation albums, 36 EPs, and 63 singles. The band has sold more than 600 million records worldwide. The Beatles have won numerous awards, including an Academy Award, 7 Grammy Awards, 4 Brit Awards, and Ivor Novello Awards, and are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame individually and as a band. The Beatles officially broke up in 1970, with all members going on to successful solo careers. John Lennon was murdered in December 1980 and George Harrison died in November 2001. Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr still record and tour as solo artists.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.